You would turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. I want to speak on the subject, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Have you ever been there? What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you pray and after you've fasted and you've read the Word of God, you come to church, you seek God for direction, but you still don't have a clear direction? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Look at 1 Samuel 14 and 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over up into the garrison of these uncircumcised. Look at this. It may be. I'm not sure. It may be. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. I want you to notice that in the sixth verse, if you put the sixth verse back up there, it says, Jonathan said, it may be that the Lord will work with us. I want to talk to you about what do you do when you don't know what to do. Let us pray. Father, I praise you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is here to speak to our hearts. Lord, speak a word of encouragement. Give people direction today. Show them, Lord, what you have planned and purposed for your lives, those dreams and those things that are in their hearts, Lord. They didn't manufacture them. You're the dream maker. Lord, you want us to have life and have it more abundantly. So as I preach this word, talk to hearts as only you can do. Give us a listening ear. Help me preach with the anointing and the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. When I read this, it helped me to understand that trying to understand God's will, it is not always black and white. It's not always crystal clear. Sometimes you are faced with a maybe. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation that you think so, you hope so, but you're not sure. Sometimes you have to walk by faith and not by sight. Many of you right now, those watching by Facebook, those listening by Willie Radio, you're facing situations where you have got to find God's will in your life. You've got to know, is this the will of God or is that the will of God in my life? Should I do this or should I do that? What do you do when after you've sought God for direction, all you have is a maybe? Well, that's where Jonathan found himself. He's in battle. He's facing a tremendous enemy, yet he finds himself with a maybe. All he had was a maybe, and he and his armor bearer, they were facing a garrison of men, 1,000 Philistines. And do you know how he convinced his armor bearer to attack them? He said, I read it, it may be that the Lord will work with us. It may be. I'm really not sure. I'm really not certain. An angel hasn't told me personally. God hasn't given me a vision. No one has spoken to me. No one has spoken a prophecy over my life. All I know is I have a problem, and this problem is not going to go away. I can sit here, I can ignore it, or you and I, we can get up and go after this thing, and it may be that the Lord will work with us. Some people would tell you that you can only get an answer from God when you're full of faith, but that's not true. The truth is you can come to God with your doubts and with your fears, and God is rich in mercy. Mercy walked in, hallelujah. You can come to God when you don't have the answers and you don't know for sure what you're supposed to do. That's when we pray. That's why we pray. And that's why we seek God for direction, because we don't always have the answer. But I'll tell you one thing. You will find the answer in this word. And Jesus is the answer to life's problems. Amen. It may be that if we do this thing, that the Lord will work with us. Sometimes you don't have all the answers. We would like to. We love our comfort zone, don't we? I do. But sometimes I just don't have all the answers. I'm sorry. You know, God has all the answers. He said, before the day was, I am He. He said, I will work and none can let it or none can stop me, saith the Lord. That's a law called, I call it Romans 8:28 law. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Say it backwards, it makes more sense. To those who are calling and are living according to His purpose and love God, we know that all things work together for their good. Sometimes all you can do is go out and do the very best you can and try, because all you have is a maybe. Sometimes people, they don't do anything because they're paralyzed with fear. I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Sometimes you're going to wonder, should I do this or shouldn't I? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I or shouldn't I? But you can't just sit back and be paralyzed with fear about making the wrong decision. Sometimes you've got to use your faith. Sometimes you've got to move on a maybe. Oh, you're going to have to fight fear. We all have to fight it. It tries to grip us. There are lying spirits that speak all the time. There's a lying spirit over this nation right now. But if the church will pray, we can break it. We're not paralyzed by fear. We know that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So you'll have to fight your doubts. You will have to fight human reasoning. You will have to do that because you're not sure. And you'll have to move on a maybe. We can learn a lot from Jonathan. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do? When all you have is a maybe? Well, first of all, Jonathan took action. Look at that. Jonathan took action. He just felt something inside of him that said, now is the time. I don't really know, but I've got to do this one thing. I don't think that God is going to give me anything else that will confirm this to me. I just kind of sense this is right, and I've got to go for it. Hallelujah. And when he moved like that, Jonathan released a law. And I want you to understand this. Nothing in the supernatural happens until something happens in the natural. Let me say that again. Many of you just sitting back waiting for God. But nothing supernatural happens until something happens in the natural. That's why prayer is so important. We need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray that truth will prevail. That's why worship is so important. That's why honoring God is so important. That's why quoting the scripture is so important. That's why giving and loving God and loving people and loving the truth of God's word, that's why it's so important. Because nothing supernatural happens until something happens in the natural. Let me talk to you. If you want a business, it's not going to happen until you do something. If you want that education, then you will have to apply yourself to learning. If you want that marriage, you'll have to take a chance again. Or you'll have to take a chance the first time for some of you. But if you want to minister for the Lord, start where you are and prepare yourself. Step through the doors that God opens for you. And don't be afraid if you know God is leading you. You can achieve anything you set your mind to achieve. You can get answers from God if you will do what the Word of God says. I have a simple 4-point formula for success. Many of you heard me say it. I didn't come up with it. I got it from a man that came out of slavery, George Washington Carver, the Peanut Man. Start where you are, number one. Number two, use what you have. Number three, start where you are, use what you have. What? Make something of it. And what's the fourth one? Never be satisfied. You got it. Hallelujah. I've quoted that so many times, somebody went out on Facebook and said, Pastor Nelson said. I said, no, I didn't say that. It came from George Washington Carver. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. There's so much more inside of you and so much more that God has purposed for your life. Don't ever be paralyzed by fear. Hallelujah. See, sometimes God makes things available, and it's up to you whether or not you just reach out and take it. I had a pastor. He was my first pastor, and he made that statement. Sometimes God makes things available to you. Eugene Powers, he's in heaven today. Great pastor. My pastor, my first pastor. Sometimes God makes things available to you, but it's up to you whether or not you reach out and take them. I had a beautiful 1966 classic Corvette. Original equipment all over it. 43,000 actual miles. But I needed an automobile for my family. And I wanted a nice car. And I said, I want a Mercedes-Benz. And I'm going to tell you how God rolls death in sometimes now. I told my daddy, I said, I'm going to get me a Mercedes, Daddy. He said, how are you going to get it, son? I said, by faith. He said, what kind you going to get? I said, I'm going to get one 2 years old. He said, if you're going to get it by faith, why don't you get a new one? Well, I'd heard some real good preaching then. Lester Sumrall said, if you have never believed God for a one-tier cake, don't try to believe God for a 10-tier cake. So I said, I'm going to get me a good used one. Now, I was standing one day on the second floor of our home, and I looked down, and I told Teresa, I said, Teresa, I see a Mercedes-Benz sitting in our yard. People told me, God doesn't do things like that. Oh, God doesn't care about stuff like that. I said, yes, he does. I said, and I'm going to get me a Mercedes-Benz. We went to eat one night in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and we just happened to drive by the Mercedes dealer when we left. And we walked onto the lot there, and there was a beautiful car sitting there. And I didn't stop. I just walked onto the back where the used cars were. Chris said, why don't you look at this one? I said, I'm not looking at a new one. I'm looking one 2 years old. She said, well, this one has 29,000 miles on it. I said, really? And I got that salesman. He said, are you really interested in it? I said, well, I got a 1966 Corvette that I need to get rid of before I can get this. He said, the man that owns this place, he collects those. It was a collectible. And I made a deal with him for $5,000 in my little car. And I went back to get that car, and he said, I want seven. Well, that morning when I left home, I had taken my cover off of that thing and threw it in the garbage can. I said, I'm driving back into this driveway on a Mercedes-Benz. So I've thrown that away by faith. Now he wants $7,000 into the five, and I offered the man earnest money, and he said, no, we'll just do a handshake. So I shook his hand, but then he changed his mind and wanted $2,000 more. I said, keep your car, and I just drove away. And Teresa started crying. I said, don't do that to me. Please don't do that to me. And so we were riding down the road, and I heard the pastor, sometimes God makes things available for you. It's up to you whether or not you reach out and take it. Now, I came out of the business world. I was a purchasing manager. I spent 30 years negotiating. I'm still can negotiate. And we're riding down the road, and I said, Teresa, I said, I can tell you what's standing between this and that car. I said, I've got the other $2,000. It's not the money. It's my pride. I said, that little boy thinks he's going to get over on me, and I'm a negotiator. I said, it's just my pride. So I go back, and there's another man looking at that car when I left. And I go back in the car's there, and pride rose up again. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll split that $2,000 with you. He said, no. He was obnoxious. He said, I told you what I'd do. I dropped my head, and I'm talking to God. I looked up at him. I said, I'll do it. He said, called his salesman. He said, write this thing up. He tried to sell me everything in the place. I said, I don't want anything else you got. I'm going to write you a check for this car, and I'm leaving. Just write it up. And when we got ready to leave, we're sitting in this beautiful Mercedes-Benz, looked like brand new, 29,000 miles on it. but it's a Mercedes, my first luxury car. And I said, look at him, Teresa. He had the hood raised up. He had the trunk. He had the top flopped. He's got all these salesmen around him. I said, look at him. He's telling them what a deal he got and how he got over on me for $2,000 extra. I said, look at him. I said, he's got what we don't want, and we got what we do want. We got us a Mercedes Benz, and we drove away. I drove into the driveway, and I told Teresa, I said, the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I said, I saw this car in the spirit realm. I saw it. I told her that day, I said, we have it. I see it. We have it. I told her sitting in that driveway, I said, if we ever get another car by faith, it will have to be now faith. I was learning some great lessons there. I prayed many of them in since then. Most of the time, I don't buy new ones, but I bought a new one recently. Guess what? I bought two of them. I bought them basically cheaper than I could buy a new one, a used one rather. So that's just God's grace and mercy. But what I'm trying to tell you is sometimes God will roll death in on something. If you ever find this principle out about God and how to move on a maybe, then it will work for you. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied and move out on the maybe. Number two, you've got to give God something to work with. Nothing comes down until something goes up. Let me say that. Nothing comes down until something goes up. If you're going to contact God and activate the spirit world, you're going to have to pray and you're going to have to use your faith. Because nothing comes down until something goes up. If you want God, and I want God to come down and fill this place with his glory, then we've got to send him up some praise. You got to send up some praise. You got to send up some glories. You got to send up some hallelujahs. Because nothing comes down until something goes up. It's got to happen in the natural before it happens in the supernatural. And that's why praise is so important. Now, I learned how to praise God in the battles of life. Teresa and I got married. This is my second time around, too. And the devil would attack our marriage and attack our home one night. And I'll just tell you how I'll be real transparent. She can't stand at the top of the stairs. She got a suitcase in her hand and said, I'm going home to be with Daddy for a while. I said, please don't leave. I said, God put this thing together. And I knew he did because I got it all written down as a group of supernatural events there. I knew God had done it, but I was fighting the devil. I mean, I learned spiritual warfare during that time. She's standing at the top of the stairs, and I said, please stay. We can work this thing out. She said, no, I'm going to leave. I looked up to God. She's at the top of the stairs. I said, God, I have prayed. I have fasted. I bound the devil. I pleaded the blood. I've quoted the word of God. I have done everything, God, except for praise you. I said, now she's down at the foyer. I said, I'm just going to pray. She said, will you please move your car and let me get my car out? I said, yes, I'll move my car, but the spirit of prophecy came over me. I said, you can leave if you want to. I said, God put this thing together. I said, and if you leave, you will be out of God's will and you will be on your own. Will you get your car out of my way? I said, yes, I will. I drove on out of the driveway and I just kept going. And I drove over to the church where I belonged to and I went in and I was going to go over and lock myself in and pray. I got over there. The choir was practicing. God set me up. I just went over there praising God, praying. I just singing along, praising God with them. And then I got up to go home. And when I got around that curve and started up the hill, I said, oh, God, please let her be there. Oh, God, please let her be there. And I saw her car sitting in the driveway. And I went in. I said, sweetheart, I thought you were going to leave. She said, I was. She said, I backed my car out of the driveway. And when I put it in drive, God spoke to me. Said, if you leave, you can. Said, but you're on your own if you do. She said, Jerry, it scared me so much. I just drove back in the driveway, and I've been sitting here waiting for you. I said, well, I didn't want you to go anyway. Hallelujah. But God's good. I learned I forgot to tell you this thing. When I was standing there, I said, I've done everything but praise you. I stepped into my living room. She's got her suitcase in her hand leaving. I started dancing, praising God. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Hallelujah! Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus! Glory, 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 glory! Speaking in tongues, dancing all over the place. And that thing snapped inside of me, and I had released my problem to God. It was gone. I learned the power of praise. I tell you, no matter what you're facing, send God up some glory. Send him up some hallelujah. Send him up some praise. Hallelujah. I learned a long time ago, you can move the hand of God if you will pray, if you will praise him, and if you will worship him. Direction comes out of praise. Provisions come out of praise. Open doors come out of praise. Joy and excitement comes out of praise. Healing comes out of praise. Miracles come out of praise. I think we ought to just stand and give God a praise break. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Praise releases miracles in God's power. It really does. Hallelujah. Some of you, you're just sitting around waiting on God, waiting on something to happen. Why don't you just move toward God? Why don't you praise God? Why don't you give God something to work with? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land. Verily shall thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Woo! And wait patiently for him. Somebody go and praise him again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes we just got to move on a maybe. Maybe if you would praise him. Maybe he would answer your prayers. Maybe if you would start paying your tithe. Just maybe you could get out of debt. Maybe if you get involved in something in God's kingdom and help somebody else that's in trouble, maybe you can overcome that depression. There's a law that says nothing happens supernaturally until something happens in the natural, and you have got to know that. What do? When you don't know what to do, you move on to maybe. See, you've got to give God something to work with. Jesus said the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. He should sleep and rise night and day. The seed comes up. He doesn't know how. He says, first the blade, then the after that, the full corn in the ear. The kingdom of God works just like the natural world happens. Something's got to happen in the natural for something to happen supernaturally. I want you to catch that. You have got to move when all you have is a maybe, and you got to say, well, maybe if I do this, I'm not sure. I'm really not positive. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I just got a hunch. I've got a feeling on the inside. My spirit man tells me that if I will move on a maybe, then God will move. And if I'll do what I can do, then God will do what only God can do. Hallelujah. That's how the kingdom works. It's just like the natural world. Amen. Now, I thought about the four leprous men in 2 Kings. They were sitting outside of the city, and they were begging. It was during a time of famine. There was a famine on. And the people would come and throw these four lepers of some scraps over the wall. And they got so used to eating scraps that they got comfortable with it. Some people live their entire lives like that. They're so used to getting the scraps and the leftovers that they just become happy with the leftovers. I've had so many people try to stop me in my life. I came home from Vietnam, United States Marine. I had doors to education slammed in my face. I had job opportunities where people would not hire me because I was a Vietnam veteran. I stood and had people try to provoke me at times. They didn't know I was a stick of dynamite ready to go off just about. I had to make decisions that I would not let those people ever keep me from a I wasn't even born again at the time. I told one boy one day, he was really rude to me. He really touched my honor. And I needed that job because I was going to college, and I needed that college education to fulfill my dreams. I just was not going to let man stop me. And he touched my honor. And I told him that day, I said, "Where I just come from, we leave men lying in the dirt that did what you just did to me." He said, "What you going to do about it?" It took everything inside of me. And then some. I'm telling you. I said, "I'm not going to do anything about it today." I said, "And you can just count yourself fortunate." I said, "I'm not going to let someone like you keep me from getting a college education, and I need this job." And I turned and walked away. It took everything that I had in me to walk away. But payday came one day, and I took care of business, and I won't go into that. But I got that college education, hallelujah. But sometimes you just got to go for it. You just got to make up your mind, "I'm going to do this thing." And I wanted to go to Appalachian State University. I went up there, and that man made a mockery of me. I had 2 years of college that I could transfer there. He stood there and wouldn't let me in that place because I was a Vietnam veteran. God didn't want me there. Guess where God wanted me? In Wilson, North Carolina. Because that was a church waiting for me. I've been here 24 years. This is where God wanted me. Not in the business world, not making all that money, not doing all that. God wanted me preaching his gospel. That's what God had purposed. You know that this church started right across the street from where I moved in my brokenness? I moved to 704 Keenan Street, 609 or 607 Keenan Street. When I was a junior in high school, this church started. And I got in that house, and I wasn't praying. I just felt the presence of God like I never felt in my life. Well, I had felt it before. I hadn't felt it in a long time since I come home from Vietnam. And I felt the need to go to church. And I started going to church. But on a Saturday night, I started praying. I said, "God, I know you're there. I know you're real, and I need help. And if you will save me, God, I will surrender my life to you, and I will do whatever you've called me to do." That was the night I was under the cross. At 3 a.m. that morning, God spoke to me and told me what to do. I went home, and I got saved, and I got saved real good. Hallelujah. God is a good God. But those lepers, there was one man in that crowd that said, "Why sit we here till we die?" So you can sit there till you die. He said, "There's a famine in the city, and if we enter that city, we're going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die. What we need to do is get up and march toward the enemy's camp." You always got to be on the offensive. It may be that God will help us. It may be that those people will feel sorry for us. But one thing is for sure, if we stay right here, we're going to die right where we are. We're probably going to die, but if we go there, at least we got a chance. And these messed up guys, they were really messed up. Lepers, they started walking toward the Syrian camp. And as they walked toward the enemy's camp, they were not full of faith. They were full of fear. But these men were walking by faith, and they were walking and believing. And as they walked and believed, God was working. And God magnified the sound of their steps. He related into the enemy's camp. The Bible says the Syrian soldiers, they woke up and they said, "It sounds like Pharaoh's army with his horses and his chariots, and they're all coming our way." They took off running, and the four lepers walked into untold riches and wealth and blessings because they moved on a maybe. It may be that God will help us. See, God is still on his throne. All God needs is somebody that will go into action, somebody that will give him something to work with. You've got to give God something to work with. And then he takes your mess and your nothing. Oh, my God. He walked around 1,000 people just to get to me. He walked around some fine people. They had PhDs. They had lawyers. They were big businessmen. He walked way over to the cesspool of sin and iniquity. And he reached down and he laid his hand upon me and said, I choose you. I choose you. I wouldn't have chosen me, but God did. Woo! I'm so glad. Go shakaba rosha rumbaka shatai. I just can't get over it. If that bothers you, I'm sorry. You just don't have the joy that I have yet. But you hang around this place and you'll find joy unspeakable that's full of glory. God is a good God and God is on the throne and God is moving and can't nobody do me like Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can miss your miracle waiting to be full of faith, or you can get a miracle if you just got faith as a grain. That's all right. Let it fall. If you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, he said, if you got faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And I decided I would be a giant killer and a mountain mover a long time ago. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. All things are possible to him that believes. Glory to God. Number three, your reward is always on the other side of obedience. Let me say that again. Your reward is always on the other side of obedience. There are some people they want God to do this and they live like the devil. They come to church, they try this and they try that, but they're not willing to break with sin. I got saved and I got a lot of problems. I said, God, I can't con you, but I'll tell you this one thing. I got this problem, I got this problem, I got this problem. I said, and God, you know my thoughts and the intent of my heart. You know my lying down, you know my rising up. How do you con a God that knows the thought and the intent of your heart? Well, I'll go out and sleep around. I'll go out and do this and I'll hide it and I'll just ask God to forgive me. I'll shack up a little while and I'll drink a little booze and I'll shoot up and I'll do whatever I feel like doing and I'll just repent and God will forgive me. Well, God knows the thought and intent of your heart before you do it. You know, God is not going to treat you any better if you're born again than he would a sinner that has to repent. Don't you live in sin and think you're going to make heaven your eternal home. Know you not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor liars, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor any other person like that, and then he lists about 17 sins, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, and such were some of you. You used to be like that. Dear God, I think of the things I did when I was in the Marine Corps and the things I did when I was in sin. And I think, why in the world would I ever do that? That was crazy. Such were some of you. Were. The blood was applied. Such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Woo! I tell you, you got to break with sin if you want God's blessings on your life here and if you want eternal life in heaven some sweet day. Amen? Now, number three, let me get back to him. Naaman, the leper. He went to Elisha, the prophet, and he told him, go dip in that muddy Jordan River. He didn't want to go there, but he recovered in his faith, and all the man had was a maybe. He was struggling with this thing. It didn't make any sense to him. All he had in his mind was a maybe. Maybe if I do what that prophet said, maybe I will be healed. He gets in the river. He went down into that water like the prophet said, not one time, not four times, not six times, but just like the prophet said, seven times. Do you know what he was doing? He was submerging his doubts and his unbelief in obedience. It is better to obey than to have to go back and say, God, forgive me. It's just better to hear some good preaching. Read your Bible. Let it be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Be ye a doer of the word, not just a hearer. See, your reward is always on the other side of obedience. And Naaman's maybe became a miracle because he obeyed the word of God. Naaman's maybe became a miracle because he obeyed the word of God. Jonathan took action. Jonathan said to his servant, it may be that God will be with us. No decisive word. He just had an obvious problem. Have you ever been there? I have many times in my life. But God is so good. See, Jonathan's thinking, I've got an obvious problem. And the only way to get God involved in this situation is to move on a maybe. Sometimes we just sit in the bleachers and say, oh, God, please do something. But I hear God saying, attack your lack. Build that church. Wow. Confront that giant. Begin that ministry. Reach for that dream. Get that education. It may be. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. Well, then you need to know this. God will never perform a miracle for you based on what you don't have. Let me say that again. God will never perform a miracle for you based on what you don't have. He will always use what you've already got. Start where you are. Use what you have. Everything that you need to accomplish God's will in your life, it is already in you in seed form. It took me a long time to realize that. That everything God has purposed for my life, it was already in me in seed form. That's why I'm a giver. That's why I sow my seed. You have to sow before you can reap. You have to sow to the word of God. When I got saved, I said, God, my life is all messed up. What's wrong with my life? God said, you've sown bad seed. Son, you have a bad harvest. And then he was so simple. I'd heard it preached. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap damnation and corruption. That's all I'd ever heard preached out of that. But God said, you got a bad harvest. Sow to my word, and I will bless your life. Hallelujah. It's been so wonderful walking with God. See, it has been said, well, think about it. You're asking God for an oak tree, and God gives you the seed, an acorn, for an oak tree. Listen to me carefully. Some of you, you're asking God for something big, and God has given you a seed. It's been said that there are two ways that you can climb an oak tree. You can sit on an acorn, or you can start climbing. Two ways to the top of an oak tree. You can sit on an acorn, or you can start climbing. You don't have to have all the answers, but you do have to sow your seed. It's all right to dream a dream, but it takes action to turn that dream into reality. I found this little poem shortly after I was saved in 1982. And I have pulled it out many, many times and read it and looked at it and probably just about got the thing memorized. It says, you have to make a wish before it can come true. You have to dream a dream before a dream can work for you. If you would gain an end, you have to make a start. To have the work in hand, you have to have it first in heart. You have to sow a seed before you reap a crop. You have to make a climb if you would reach the top. There's an ancient law, as simple as can be. You have to know the truth before the truth can make you free. Sometimes people go down so far, they mess up so much, they think, God could never use me. I could never be of any benefit in the kingdom of God. You know, some people think that the church is just for good people. No, the church is not a place for just good people. The church is a place where people who have given up, where people's lives are broken and fragmented, where people, they feel so ashamed of what has happened in life. The church is a place where people like that can find hope. Just because you made a mistake, it does not mean you cannot succeed. Learn from your mistakes. Never make them again. Learn, learn, learn. If all you ever know is what you know now, you will never know any more than you know now. Read behind people that have been successful. Connect yourself to successful people. Learn from them. Learn. Get into a church where the word of God is preached, where the blessings of God upon that place. And if you come to where God's blessings are, and connect yourself and come and learn the word of God. Don't let the devil rob you of anything. I promise you, if you'll come to where the anointing will follow you home. People said, how do you know that? Because Obed-Edom in the Old Testament, he got the Ark of the Covenant, and they messed up on how they handle it. They didn't do it the way God said do it. You'll mess up if you try to do it your way. Do it the way God said. So they take the Ark of the Covenant to Obed-Edom's house, and David's in Jerusalem. David hears about the Ark that's there, and how blessed old Obed-Edom was, because that Ark represented the presence of God. So he goes and he finds out from the Word, how do you handle the Ark? How do you handle the sacred, holy things of God? There is a right way and there's a wrong way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. The end thereof is the way of destruction. So David decides to do it God's word. He goes, gets, and he moves it the way it's supposed to be moved, and they got the priest involved. And when it comes into Jerusalem, and he sees it coming, here's King David. Oh, my. The king. Hallelujah. Some dignified preacher. Woo! Hallelujah. Passed the course in homiletics. Got all the right words. Got all the dignified mannerisms. King David. He's the king. I ain't going to take all my clothes off. He takes off his kingly robe, casts it aside, gets down to a linen ephod, and he sees the presence of God coming in. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory, glory, glory. He just starts dancing and bringing the Ark of the Covenant. Glory, 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 glory. The presence of God is coming in. How do you bring in the presence? With some glory, some hallelujahs, and some praises, and some dancing, sounds and music. Hallelujah. And his wife looked at him and she despised him like some people look at me. I don't care what they think. They didn't save me. I could care less. I am free, free, free. Jesus broke the chains that bound me. I am free. Life has meaning now for me. I've been given liberty by the precious blood of Jesus. I'm living. I am free. Hallelujah. I am free. I am free. Do you know that when God moves on you, you got to start where you are? If he says dance, dance, he'll get involved in it. If he says prophesy, prophesy, make sure it's him. I tell you what, David got into this thing. And David brought in the Ark of the Covenant with glory. Hallelujah. Sometimes all you have to do is move on a maybe. Stop trying to figure it all out. Maybe we will seek him. Maybe his presence will show up. You know, many of the heroes of faith in the Bible, they moved on a maybe. So if all you have is a maybe, I want to tell you, you're in good company. I love this little poem. It says, great it is to dream a dream. When you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through. Come here, sweetheart. Come here, Teresa. A greater thing is to live life through. And to say at the end, the dream came true. Two broken, fragmented people. It came to Jesus in their brokenness. Never dreamed in our wildest imagination we would pass hours a lay evangelist happily doing that. But God gave me a pastor's wife. And I want to tell you before all these people, I love you like I have never loved anyone else in my life. There will never be another. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through and say at the end, the dream came true. Let us stand.
He is here. Hallelujah.
In all your brokenness, when your dreams are shattered, when your heart is broken, give it all to Jesus. He's got some great things waiting for you.
I will bless His name again.
God has spoken to your heart. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. The altar's open.
Closely.
Just come and talk to God.
Him.
Say, God, I need a change.
Your name. He is here.
You can touch Him. You will never be.
You want to come and spread out and talk to God?